Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Golf Insider Podcast. I'm Jeff Bergerson, joined as always by Zachary Turcotte.
How's it going, my friend?
It's going well. You can, of course, find us at fantasygolfinsider.com for all of our great research tools to make you a better and more profitable fantasy and DFS golf player. Come check us out today. Weekly articles, Slack chat, ownership projections. We build 150 lineups in 15 minutes. You name it, we got it. So be sure to check us out today. We got the Truist Championship this week, Zachary, which we will dive into. But first, let's talk. Spend a couple of minutes talking about Doral. I don't know how it was for you. For me, I was a little bit let down, and I can't quite put my finger on as to why, because I had always loved the course. Maybe it was just the lack of drama. I wasn't feeling it. How about you?
Well, I was feeling it because my team won money, and anytime I win money, I'm happy at this point. I had a little losing streak there for a while, so it's nice to actually have a winning streak going now. Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of it day to day. I did feel like it still played pretty challengingly. It just, you know, when you get a guy like Cam Young who runs away from the field, I mean, there was just no drama at all on Sunday. It was over from the start. I mean, there's definitely some traps along the way, but he's so solid that he would have had to have made some pretty considerable mistakes to mess that up. So it was pretty much on cruise control. But I mean, if you take his score out, it kind of scored about the way we would have expected. I mean, Scotty ended up in second place at minus 13. I think I was looking for somewhere between like minus 12 to minus 15 as a winning score. So I guess it felt like it played about in the range that I thought. It's just, yeah, Cam Young was so good at this Sunday. I tuned in here and there a little bit, but at no point was anybody really even closing the gap to make it worthwhile. And there weren't a lot of, it was weird in terms of the way it scored. I expected more from some of the better players in the field. So it was a kind of a weird scoreboard. I mean, obviously Scotty, it's so strange. Scotty he's playing almost the exact same way every week. Slow start on Thursday, a little better on Friday, really good over the weekend, second place finish.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know what's happening. I don't know why all of a sudden he can't do four rounds in a row, but he did his normal thing. But, most of the other names up at the top of the leaderboard were definitely not the stars. You know, I had a really good lineup. If Colin Morikawa just would have decided to show up and play. I mean, it was unbelievable. And he's been so good everywhere else. He's such a good fit comp course wise, as far as what his game does. He was just awful from beginning to end. You know, so he didn't do much, not really all that many other guys outside of Cam Young and Scotty were all that effective there at the top. So yeah, it was kind of strange in that. I guess, you know, Siwoo Kim did pretty well. You know, Adam Scott rose from the dead. He was nearly in last place after Thursday, and I was cursing his name because I felt like, oh, he's a safe pick. He's never in last. And then he was.
Well, where does he fit? Where does he finish if he hits his own ball?
Oh, he would have been tied for second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I forgot about that. Yeah. That idiotic mishap. What would that end up costing him? Probably several hundred thousand dollars.
Right.
Insane. Yeah. Just ridiculous. Yeah. When he did that the first day, I thought this is just crazy. This is not making me happy at all, but, yeah, so it was a little strange. You see names like Ben Griffin. I hadn't really expected him to be up there.
I did, because that was last week, was like the first week I bailed on him. So I did expect it. I've been on the guy for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you know, wasn't really expecting like a, you know, top 10 out of a guy like Nick Taylor. You know,
right.
Alex Noren hadn't been playing that well at all. And then all of a sudden he shows up on a longer course.
Yeah.
An average, right. You know, it was interesting. Alex Fitzpatrick, how about him with a ninth place finish? Pretty decent debut, especially a week after winning. You know, you kind of think, how's he going to have a little bit of a letdown? You know, is he going to kind of cruise on this one? Nope. He's going to come right over and have a top 10 finish. I mean, that's already he's at a pretty good pace here. A few more of those and he'll be on pace for maybe making it all the way to the Tour Championship this year. But so that was pretty impressive. But yeah, without the drama of it, it wasn't nearly the same. But I mean, it, you know, 17 and 18 still played really tough. I mean, just ask Morikawa; he played at +6 those two holes over the first 3 days. So yeah, I still thought 18 was cool. Like that still had some fun memories for me, and it's definitely a fun one to watch play out. But yeah, without anybody even close to Cam Young, wasn't quite as exciting. So it's been, you know, really kind of an interesting season now between Cam Young and Matthew Fitzpatrick. And
right.
Those guys are just got a couple guys who are absolutely killing it, putting some real separation between themselves and everybody else. And along with Scotty, obviously all these second place finishes are definitely adding up to FedEx Cup points, but definitely some distance between like the top three guys this year and everybody else.
Let's talk about this week's event, the Truist, back at Quail Hollow. Remember the absence last year because Quail hosted the PGA Championship, but it's a course that we see every year. Before it was called the Wells Fargo Championship, but it's been hosted there since 2003, so long time. We know it well. George Cobb design, although it has been redesigned by Tom Fazio a couple of different times. The most recent was in 2016. Before the 2017 PGA Championship. It's going to play a little shorter this year than last year's PGA Championship, 7,583 yards. It's par 71, narrower fairways, tree-lined. We go back to like a Bermuda with Poa overseed mix for the greens, and actually that's the fairways as well. Average green size is 6,578 feet. The greens are probably going to be slower this year than they were for last year's PGA Championship. Actually, going back to last week, I was a little bit disappointed that the greens were not very fast, at least what I was expecting. So, seven holes, water is in play. I don't think the rough is going to be that crazy. It'll probably be less than last year, I'm guessing. And it usually does favor a more bomber mentality, kind of like we targeted last week as well, because the penalty just isn't there. We've seen bombers do well on this course through the years. What do you have for comp courses, Zachary?
Oh, let's see. I've got, I think you could throw in Doral last week. It's not bad. Bay Hill, East Lake, Innisbrook, PGA National, Muirfield Village, Torrey, Riviera. So pretty broad array of courses that work.
Yeah, you hit on Riviera. That's one that I'm not sure a lot of people look at, but we have over the years. I think it's a really good comp. You see a lot of guys cross over between the two over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rory's had success on both. I mean, he's had success on a lot of them, but clearly a guy that's played well.
Guys like Max Homa.
Yep.
You know, has won both places. Yep. J.B. Holmes,
Jason Days,
right?
Yeah.
So, not just the guys who win on every course. So, I think that's a legit comp. Let's look at pricing this week. Up top is Rory, 3-time champ here at 11,700. Don't you wish Scotty was in this field? God, they just can't get it right, can they?
Well, we knew that was going to happen. I mean, just the way that they scheduled this thing. I mean, obviously, the big news is Scotty couldn't play here today because he did commit today to playing in the 3M Open this summer. So he's got to save himself. He can't play too many events too soon when he's going to be coming to TPC Twin Cities later on in the summer. So
my kids were excited to hear about it.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, hopefully that draws. I mean, just the fact that he shows up should get a few other pros that maybe wouldn't normally look at it to possibly come out. I mean, that's good. The PGA Tour has kind of encouraged guys that they're gonna mix it up as far as the events they play each year.
Absolutely. And
so that does get Scotty up here, but that's awesome because I mean that's a tough one because we end up being the week after the Open every single year, so it's kind of a natural skip. for a lot of these guys. So maybe, yeah, maybe that will attract a little bit more attention. I do wish he was here this week just for him. I would have been interested in seeing what the price would be. See if they finally would have gotten it down a little bit. Because even again last week, I finally just left him out of my column entirely on the GVP side. I just said, guys, you can't play him. Even if he's the winning golfer, he's probably almost certainly not going to be on a winning GPP lineup. It's not going to be able to happen at that price because there's going to be too many other good players somewhere in and around the top 10 that are going to be too expensive for you to roster with him. So would have liked to have seen him here, see if the price would have come down to maybe something like 12.5 or, you know, somewhere closer to that 12 range where it would have made him a little bit more interesting to roster. As it is with Rory, man, it's challenging to try to figure out where his head is going to be after winning the Masters. Because we thought last year, it felt like last year everything should have set up really pretty perfectly for him in terms of where the other majors were. I thought, oh man, this could be a big year. If he wins at Augusta, you know, he's got Quail Hollow for the PGA Championship. I mean, how perfect for the next major? And then he finished 47th and was really kind of a non-factor the rest of the season. So that makes me wonder, like, where's his head going to be this week? So he was off 3 weeks before Augusta and then wins. Great. And now he's been off the last 3 weeks, celebrating, enjoying the win, which he should. But I guess how much of his attention has actually been focused on golf? And I have no idea. I really don't know. I think I probably will end up rostering him to some extent. I just don't know how much ownership I'll be able to put his way.
Can you go back to Cam Young immediately after?
I think so. This has kind of been the season to go back to the winner so far, right? I mean, he wins at the Players Championship, and then he's in the final group at Augusta, ends up third, and then, you know, first this past week. And then you look at a guy like Matthew Fitzpatrick, he's a back-to-back winner now, and he's won three out of his last four starts. So I think for me, and it should be another course that actually suits him really well. I mean, he didn't do well here in 2023 or in 2024. I guess it hasn't really been a great spot for him in three starts, but it, you know, in looking at the way the course sets up and the way the course plays, I don't know why this wouldn't necessarily be a good spot for him.
I think it's a great fit. The only thing I worry about is last week, everything went well for him. Like, even when he was in trouble, he was able to escape, make a 15-foot par putt, and then move on his way. And golf has a way of evening itself out a little bit over time. So I love his game. I love his game for the course. I just worry about how everything went perfectly last week for him.
Yeah.
And he just kind of rolled. So that's the only thing that I worry about this week.
Yeah. But yeah, beyond that, beyond his course history, everything else kind of points towards this being another spot where he should be great. And maybe he has taken that step, right? I mean, we're kind of waiting for it for the last couple of years, but maybe this year he finally has taken that step. He's gotten over the hump. And I think winning a couple of real prestigious events has got to do wonders for his confidence, you know, because he hadn't really won a lot of like big time types of events. And now all of a sudden he wins, the Players Championship, huge prestige there. And then he wins at Doral, another in a signature event. So he's got to be feeling pretty good about where his game is at right now. What about a guy like Xander, who's had pretty good success here? A couple real nice finishes in recent years. We tend to look at him quite a bit in these, you know, signature event type of fields. He's had a bunch of top 10 finishes. He's been pretty close. It just hasn't quite felt like he has been, just hasn't been able to put it all the way together yet. But do you think maybe he comes in at a potentially lower ownership, or is it just Xander and everybody's going to own him?
I don't know. I think that ownership could be a little bit different this week. I think Rory's going to get some owners because of his dominance on the course. Cam, because he won last week. Xander, and he's been playing really well lately. And then you look at when Xander plays well, he does everything well from off the tee to approach to putter, and everything seems to be clicking. He's put up a bunch of top tens recently, so I think he's really close. So I like him quite a bit. I also think Oberg is going to get some ownership there at 9,600. I really like where his game is at right now. How good of a course is this for him? 9,600 seems like a very good price, so I'm going to move in on him, even though I think he's going to get quite a bit of ownership at that level.
Yeah, it's challenging. And I mean, even a guy like Fitzpatrick, I can't get away from him. At that price, he's just been extraordinary. He's been so good for his last, his last four starts or his last five starts or so, with, three wins, almost four wins, really should have been four wins there out of his last five. But he's just been incredible. So, that whole range is good. It'll be very challenging to get away from some of these guys with how well. So many of them have been playing. And even you look at a guy like Siwoo Kim, who normally, I wouldn't look at too much, but he's, outside of a couple blips, he's had one of his most consistent seasons ever. He just seems like he's getting better and better each year, and coming off of, fourth place finish this past week. I mean, outside of Augusta,
he's playing a lot too. He doesn't miss.
Yes. Yeah. He's been extremely good for the entire season. You look at his rolling numbers, he's sixth in tee to green and eighth in strokes gained total over the last 16 rounds. Comp course numbers don't look great, but I just feel like he's a different player this last couple of years. He was very good last year. He's even better this season. So I think he is another really strong play there. So, and then those are the guys that I'll probably focus on as we drop down here into the lower 9K range. I think I'm pretty comfortable fading McIntyre, Cantlay, Burns, and Ricky Fowler there at 9K. Ricky gets a pretty big price bump, but
Ricky's tough at that price. But did you like Cantlay last week before he pulled out?
No, he wasn't going to make my column. Okay. All right. I was kind of borderline. He had played pretty well three straight events. I'm a little curious why he pulled out last week. I didn't see an explanation. Did you see anything for why he left? So I don't know.
The same reason, he just didn't want to play every week for a month.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know what the deal was. This hasn't been a very good course for him. In five starts, his best finish is 21st place. Cantlay for me, like I've kind of mentioned before, there's certain guys who I'm, I generally don't go into events and wait course history a lot more overall, but for certain players, I think course history is really important. And for a guy like Cantlay, if a course hasn't ever really been a fit for him over the years, like this spot here never really suited him that well. Like Torrey Pines never really suited him all that well. So I'm pretty comfortable staying away from him this week. And same with Sam Burns. He's somebody I can never really gauge him. I don't feel like 9,100 is a great price for him. I think he should probably be a little bit lower. If I'm going to fade any of those guys that we talked about at the top, I need Burns to be probably in like the mid eights or so for me to be interested. Cause he just hasn't, outside of Augusta, he really hasn't had that great of a year so far.
No, I would prefer Adam Scott here, who, played well last week, is playing regularly. This has been an okay spot for me at a T5 a couple of years ago, plays well at Riviera. I think that's not a terrible price for him.
Yeah. I mean, his irons are incredible. He ranks number one in the field in strokes gained approach over the last 16 rounds. He's gaining over 1.3 strokes per round over the last 16 rounds. So that's super encouraging. And he has had a couple nice finishes at Bay Hill and at Riviera as well this year. Just 8,900, that's tough. I definitely need at least a top 15 to be happy at that price. But he's doing everything right that he does well when he's playing at his best. So that's certainly encouraging. The rest of the 8K range gets kind of tricky for me. I'll likely have some Minwoo Lee there at 8,300. He's somebody who's generally very strong off the tee. Okay, short game. And 18th place finish last week. That's not bad. I think that was pretty solid. I think Sepp Straka is worth a risk at 8,100. He didn't get too big of a price bump there after a fourth place finish, but he was eighth place here 2 years ago. And how else did he finish? Where did he finish? I guess he missed the cut at the PGA Championship last year, but he tends to have the type of game that works well on a course like this. Probably going to just ignore Jake Knapp. He had to withdraw with like a wrist injury last week. I was stunned that so many people still played him.
Oh, really?
Maybe the information didn't get out enough or fast enough to people.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, there was still a decent amount of ownership. I would have thought he would have come down almost all the way to zero.
I like liked 10%. Him a lot, but yeah, I mean, the news.
He was like 10% owned in cash games last week, which is crazy. There was absolutely no need at all to take any kind of risk. So just the fact that he pulled out last week, man, I don't love that at all. I guess I won't take any type of risk there. Who else in the eights? Is there anybody else? Maybe
I know you're not as big of a Goddard guy as I am, but I will own some Goddard at 8,600 just because he is so talented. And anytime I get him in the eights, I'll just take it. But I don't have a ton of ownership in the eights this week. I own a lot of 7K.
There's just a lot of guys I don't feel great about. I feel like a lot of these guys will be right around 25th to 30th range. But I don't know which guys are going to sneak up. Like last week, I certainly wouldn't have thought Ben Griffin would have, taken off and finished third. I guess on the back of a team event, 10th place, that maybe motivated him a little bit. But yeah, I don't think I can play Hideki without being more confident about him at least being somewhat in contention. I'm not looking for guy. Again, I'm not looking for guys to finish 20th.
This week.
Not like in that range at least.
If I
pay down to like 6,800 or low 7Ks and they finish 20th, that's great. That's perfect. That's fine for what I need them to do. But yeah, if I'm going to pay up at all, I really want to have guys who hopefully are at least somewhat close to being in contention.
7K range, quite a bit to like in this range. I will own some. I think Kitayama actually 7,800 seems like you're paying up. He's been playing pretty well. I like Højgaard in his first appearance here, but I like his game.
Yeah, both of them rallied pretty well.
Yeah, and then Gary has had a good history here. 7,600. His price doesn't move up. He wasn't great last week.
It was just one bad round, though, right? Wasn't it like just the third round where he fell back? Like he played pretty well because he shot like something crazy bad in that one round. Let me pull it up. But other than that, he was kind of near the top for a while. Yeah, he shot 68, 69. Yeah, he shot a 77. The third round, though, that was his only round over par, 68, 69, and 70. The other three rounds. And so he's played really well the four previous events before that. So
do you worry about him getting worn down a little bit playing every week?
The
health issues and everything.
He seems to have done a decent job taking breaks, though. I mean, he played three straight weeks into his win. The third week was a win. Then he had a week off, played 2 weeks, then a week off, and then he'll end up playing three straight weeks. I guess I probably would be a little more worried about him next week than this. But in a no-cut event, at least, you get four rounds, and there's enough upside for me at 7,600. I think if he would, if he would have shot like a 72 in the third round, he'd probably be up in the eights this week as far as his price.
Yeah.
So I think we still got a pretty good deal there. Love Alex Smalley at 7,500. Man, that was an impressive finish. Another top 10. So he finished second the prior week. And sometimes you worry a little bit about a guy who comes up just short, finishing second in an event like that. When he's looking for a win, and then he comes into a signature event there and takes seventh. So I thought that was pretty impressive. He did have an 18th place finish here a couple years back, and a 28th place finish at the PGA Championship a year ago. So decent history here overall. Everything's going well for him as far as the way he's hitting the ball. So definitely a really, really strong play there at 7,500. How about Justin Rose and the club switch? How did you like that?
I didn't really mind it. I didn't own him. It worried me, and I guess it didn't work out so well for him.
I didn't play him either. I was like, we've seen this before. Like, if he switches clubs and it goes great, that's hey, more power to him. We can get back to him eventually. And of course, it just went terrible, which was hilarious.
It doesn't always happen that way, where the more information works out for us, but it did in that situation.
That was nice. Yeah, that was good. I was glad that we were on that one early. I think everybody probably was, but just crazy though.
What's
like
he
you're
doing?
That
you that lady talked about it. You voiced your concern last week about it.
I know. It's just nuts, man. Like everything's working for you. That's just the wrong time. I mean, if you were just a bottom feeder this year or struggling and then you make the switch up, that's fine. Yeah, I do something. But when everything is just right, you don't change anything. Just leave it alone. Like
this is his last gasp of his career, and he's made enough money. What are his career earnings? Close to $100 million, maybe. God. What are you
plus, doing? Yeah, plus all of his endorsement deals and everything else. Like it, yeah, it's just crazy. And to go to a brand like McLaren, like it's been so odd too. The switches that he's made. You know, he went to Honma years back, and then he goes to McLaren. You're thinking, oh man, dude, what this is? Yeah, so it's. Yeah, it's weird. What is his total earnings? Does it tell
me? Yeah, if I'm him, I don't change my underwear. You know, this much less his clubs. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So I guess I'll continue to stay away from him for now till he figures out the new clubs. And I'm sure there'll probably be a week where he smashes. It was pretty funny. There were people tweeting about it. He actually did jump in on a couple of those. Tweets. There was somebody, a couple of guys, I think Rick Gaiman had tweeted about how particularly poor his numbers were. Didn't tag him or anything like that, but then just Rose just saw the tweet or must have searched it out and then had some interesting remarks after that. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, I did watch that. Not surprised at all that the way things went for him with that. Dropping down at all on the lower end, it gets a little bit tougher here in the lower sevens. There's not quite as many standout plays. I do like the way Sam Stevens has been playing in recent weeks. Four top 25s in his last five starts there. Matthew McCarty at 7,000, tough to ignore. Four straight top 25 finishes, including a couple top 10s. I guess one was the team event, but, 24th at Augusta, 12th at Harbortown, and the 9th at Doral. Definitely some tough courses there. So I love that price for him.
I'm a glutton for punishment, but I'm going to own some Justin Thomas.
Oh, you know, you say Justin Thomas, that's 76. That's not bad. I mean, that's, yeah, he's had some decent runs here. He won the PGA Championship here back in 2017.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. So that was his first major, and he looked okay last week. I mean, we know he's going to kind of snap out of it at some point. I mean, he played really well at the Players Championship. So I thought maybe that would spur him on a little more, but not a great run at Augusta and Harbortown. But
he won a TPC Sawgrass before, and he played well there this year. So I'm hoping that maybe he can rekindle some magic like he had in 2017 here.
Yeah.
And the strength of his game is off the tee. So, I mean, if we're putting extra emphasis on that this week, that's generally where the best part of his game is.
So the name I thought you were going to bring up when you said you were glutton for pain was Max Homa at 7,000.
Oh, you think I'm not owning Max?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's been one who's, like I said, there's certain guys, you know, we talked about this hasn't been a Cantlake course, but you know, a guy like Homa who hasn't been very good, was still able the last 2 years. He got to Augusta and back to back years, really strong finishes. He was 12th last year and he was 9th this year. So he is a little bit of a course history guy. when he's a winner here back in, back in 2019. So yeah, again, I think that's, there's pretty good risk versus reward for,
yeah, he's only 7,000. I mean, do you love so many other guys in this range more than him? No, not really.
Not particularly. No, there's not a lot of guys who are super strong. Alex Fitzpatrick, I guess I just stick with him now, right? I mean, he won a DP World Tour. He won the team event. He was ninth last week. Last week was sort of the tester. I figured I could bite just a little bit at that price and just sort of see what he does. But again, no cut this week. And if you can handle Doral for a top 10, I guess I don't know why you wouldn't take a shot here. If they'd bumped him up to like 8,000, maybe I would have ignored him. But he's the same price, pretty much the same price as he was a week ago there. So... yeah, sign me up for that.
Pot Dieter, I will own him at 6,700. I think that's a reasonable 6K play. Again, glutton for punishment. I'll own Ryan Fox. I don't know why, but I'll own him in the 6K range.
Outside, he wasn't bad. He was, you know, he was okay. He finished 30th last week, started off a little slow, but then played okay. But yeah, 6,600. He wasn't far off from being like a top 20 or top 15 finish at that price. He certainly has the potential, so I don't mind. I like his game. He's handled tough courses pretty well over the last couple of years.
What else you got in the 6K range? I think it's bleak for sure.
Oh man, yeah. There's not as much that I like down here. God, who else could I take a shot with? Maybe a little bit of Michael Kim at 6,400. He looked pretty good last week. He was 18th. He finished 25th at Harbortown, and he was second in San Antonio. So those are three of his last four. Didn't do well at Augusta, obviously, but he had a seventh place finish here back in 2023. So he's one that I don't mind at that price. The rest of it's pretty challenging. Probably not much else. This used to be a Webb Simpson course.
It did. Yep.
He lives by here or something like that. I feel like something like that. He's had pretty good finishes here, even in recent years, but his game has gone all the way over the cliff for the most part. So I guess I'm not real encouraged. I don't think I would take a chance using him. Can you, would you, would it, like 5%? Could you go with a guy like Webb with just the hopes that he could rekindle a little bit?
No. We've said it for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
He's like at certain places like Sedgefield and wherever else he's played well, it just hasn't really happened.
Yeah. It hasn't clicked. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, there's not much else. You know, Sungjae at 6,300. Oh man, there's another one who should be tempting. He's had a couple top tens, but yeah, he's been terrible. Bad for the outside most of part.
Where was he good? In Texas? I think that one week he
it was Valspar. It was Innsbruck.
Was it? Okay.
I think. Yeah. Yep. He had a fourth place finish, but yeah, beyond that, it's been terrible.
Terrible.
So Michael Kim. Probably the only name down here that I guess I would feel real comfortable with in the low end of the sixes.
Okay. Next week we got PGA Championship.
Yes. Yep. It should be fun.
All right. Any early prognostications for that?
Oh boy. No, I haven't looked too close. I'm kind of surprised.
Everyone going to show up and play, or are they who's taking the week off next week?
I'm sort of surprised we haven't seen. I wonder if prices have come out for that. Have you looked at all the C?
I can look right now. I don't.
True is so. PGA Usually. Championship. Well, they haven't released too much. No, yeah, no prices yet on that. So that's the biggest sticking point for me. Is just where we're going to land on pricing next week. Is Scotty still going to be like 13.5? Because that's definitely going to make things difficult. Be real interested to see after the LIV guys completely bombed out at Augusta, if we'll get a break on their pricing, especially with all the turmoil that's been going on over there. If those numbers come down into like the 9K range, I might I might be a buyer, of course, if they're up at around 10 again. I think I probably may end up just ignoring them, but that top end pricing is really where it's going to be difficult for me to figure out who I'm going to be with. I'm going to need to see at least, where Rory comes out in comparison with Scotty, where Rahm and Bryson end up, and then just seeing a full field again too, because we've seen these stronger signature events, but not really full strength.
No,
which I don't like. So, how about you? Have any leans so far?
Not yet. I'm anxious to see Oberg this week. He's a guy who I've had targeted to win a major. To stand out, Goddard is another guy that I think I'll probably own an outright on. But no, other than that, nothing stands out just yet. I'll wait for the pricing to hit and see what direction we're going based on, like you said, where the top end is, where Scotty is, and see what direction we're going with lineup builds.
All right.
All right. If you have any questions for us, you can find us in the Slack chat or email us or hit us up on X. But with that, we will leave you with the Truest from Quail Hollow this week. Should be a fun week. Be sure to check us out. FantasyGolfInsider.com. Become a premium member. Gain access to all of our stuff. And with that, we will leave you. And we'll be catching up with you next week for the PGA Championship. Good luck.
Good luck.